Talk to your coworkers about salary. Talk to
Mm.
people in your network about salary. It's the opposite of what we're told. Don't talk about it. It's not classy. It's this and that. That's a lie, perpetuated by capitalism and the patriarchy. So I think it's really important to talk openly and transparently about salary. It's definitely uncomfortable at first, but I find approaching it in certain tactical ways can help. For example, approaching a coworker and saying, "Hey, I'm just trying to figure out if I'm being paid equitably at this company. Are you making over or under X dollars? Or are you
Nice.
making 120? I'm making this." Just kind of like giving information to get information can help as well. You'd be shocked at how willing your coworkers are to engage in this dialogue in the year 2024.
If you're a high achiever who wants your ambition to extend beyond your professional goals and into your well-being and relationships, you're in the right place. I'm Valerie Martin, a certified high-performance coach and therapist of 12 years, and I'm obsessed with teaching and coaching folks how to cultivate compassionate self-discipline. We all have a spark alive within us, no matter how small or dim it might feel right now. And it is our greatest purpose and our greatest responsibility to honor it. Because when we do, we become better partners, leaders, parents, creators, and family members in the interconnected web of this wild, dark, miraculous, beautiful world. Tune in every other week for a new interview or solo episode and connect with me on Instagram at HonorYourSpark. Let's jump into the episode. What's up, y'all? Welcome back to Honor Your Spark. I'm so excited for this episode. Our guest today is amazing. And while this episode is more geared toward women, even if you are not a woman, if you have ever worked with women or loved a woman, then you're gonna learn something from this conversation that is important. So we'll get more into our guest in a moment, but let's kick off with the watching, reading, loving segment. And I'm gonna flip it up a little bit this week by telling you what I am not watching. By the time this episode airs, this will be a little bit old news, but like for weeks now, for I don't know how many weeks, it's been Love is Blind, Love is Blind, Love is Blind everywhere. And I really enjoyed watching the first four seasons. I mean, yes, there were train wrecks, but I enjoyed, getting to like talk with clients about what they were noticing. And it's just fun kind of being included in that like cultural zeitgeist, if you will. But I just wasn't motivated when season five came around. And then also this time I was just like, you know what? I'm like, if I want to watch Gossip Girl, if I want to watch The Bachelor, like I only have so many hours to watch trash television, right? So I just decided not to opt out. But I want to ask you guys, I asked this once on Instagram and I didn't get much response. It was like a mixed bag. Do you think if you watched season six, was it worth it? Was it worth your time? And if I hear from several people that they say yes, I will watch it. So that is my watching. I am reading a book published in 1980, a tome, if you will, called Existential Psychotherapy by the one and only Irvin Yalom, who is like a legend in our field. And I actually have not read as much Yalom as I wish that I had. And so I'm like, it's never too late. And I want to start with this book specifically focused on sort of like the closest thing that our field has to a manual. There is no such thing as a manual for existential therapy, but it is a classic. And so I'm really enjoying it so far. You'll hear next episode, which is our guest, Sarah Kubrick, who also wrote a book on existential therapy, which is really what inspired me to dig deeper into something that I've always been interested in, but have never done a deep dive in. So really enjoying this book by Yalom. And I'm loving this vegan shepherd's pie from Minimalist Baker. If you're watching the video, you can see I'm almost done with my lunch. So I was like, oh my gosh, I mentioned a little bit about St. Patty's Day in the last episode, and that is definitely old news by this point, but I'm eating the leftovers right now and it is so freaking good. I was like, I have to share this link. Minimalist Baker is one of my favorite recipe blogs. So I always, if I want to make something, I will usually look for it there. And this was so easy and it made like eight servings. So good. Also, I just signed up for a meal planner app called Plant You. I think Carly Bodrug, I'm probably saying that wrong, but I had gotten her cookbook recently and really liked it. And I'm like, I love a meal plan version. So I will let you guys know what I think of that. All right, let's talk about our guest today. So Sam DeMace wrote this incredible book called A Power Mood, which is how I first discovered her, as I often do with my guests, and then found her content online. It's amazing. And so she's all about self-advocacy for women in the workplace. And that includes everything from in your existing job to getting a new job, interviewing, resume, negotiating, asking for a raise, all the things. And she's got toolkits for a lot of those things on her website. The book is phenomenal. Just yesterday in a client session, I was telling this client, you got to get this book. There's going to be so many things in here that are going to help you with this phase that you're in with the job search. So can't recommend it enough. Even as someone who's not been in the corporate world really at all, she's awesome and should definitely follow her if you're on social media. So, official bio, Sam DeMace is an internationally recognized career coach, self-advocacy expert, author, and speaker with a community of 800,000 plus followers on social media at A Power Mood. She specializes in teaching women how to navigate and hack the antiquated corporate system, cultivate their careers, and command their value. Yes. You can find Sam online at apowermood.com, on Instagram and TikTok at apowermood, and on LinkedIn at Sam DeMace. All right, before we jump into the conversation, want to tell you about one more really exciting thing. If you caught the last episode, you've already heard about this, or if you follow me on social, but I am so excited to be launching a new challenge. It's Think Like Spring Cleaning for your mindset, your habits, all the things. It is called the Action Over Perfection Challenge. It'll be 5 days. Day one is identifying covert perfectionism and how it's impacting your performance. Day two, embracing imperfect action and following the data. Day three, setting human scale goals that are rooted in your values. Day four, stop overthinking and be decisive AF. And then on day five, we will end it with a bang with a masterclass on reclaiming personal growth from the wellness industrial complex. I am so excited for these 5 days. You can join for the whole thing. You can just join for the masterclass. Either way, there will be an opportunity for prizes, for getting coaching from me. It's all free. So stay tuned for more on prizes and all that fun stuff. But you can go ahead and sign up now, which I highly recommend doing while you're thinking about it. Just go sign up. It is honoryourspark.com/springchallenge. Hope to see you there. All right, let's get into the episode with Sam DeMace. Sam, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I'm super excited for this conversation.
Thank you so much for having me.
So I would love to hear from you what it means to you to honor your spark.
To honor my spark. To me, it really means to embrace who I am fully and to celebrate that and to inject my personality into everything I do, which is a big cornerstone of my work and, of course, my life. There's a lot of different things that come to mind when I hear honor your spark. But I think, and I really like that. I love how that sounds. I try to do that in every aspect of my work, whether that's in my videos that I make, the books that I write, digital resources that I create. I want it to have a very particular stamp of my brand and my personality. And there's a lot that goes into that. You know, I'm a woman, I'm gay, I am somebody who cares a lot about my community. I like purple as a color. I love animals. You know, there's a lot that goes into my persona, and I like to showcase that.
Absolutely. Purple is my favorite color, and I'm obsessed with your website. Your brand is so beautiful.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. So clearly, like, especially as, you know, now a self-employed person, a creator, you infuse that in everything you do. And even for folks who have less sort of autonomy and freedom in a lot of ways, who might be in the corporate world, I know that being your whole self, obviously, that's going to look different in different contexts, but that is a big part of your message and what it means to, you know, be human in the workplace.
Totally. Yeah. And that takes time and work to get to know yourself and to be comfortable enough with yourself and confident enough to showcase that and bring your whole self to work, as opposed to leaving most of you at home and bringing only part of yourself to work. I don't think fulfillment in career and life can happen unless, you know, you feel confident and comfortable in yourself and bring that with you.
Yeah. I feel like you've probably gotten asked about this a lot, but I'm just like, I have to know if you love the show Severance, because it is the epitome of what we're talking about.
Okay. You know, it's so funny. I haven't seen that yet.
Oh my gosh. You have to see it.
Okay.
It's so, and it's only like 9 episodes and they're all under an hour. But seriously, when you watch it, I'm going to look for a DM because it really, I mean, it's like, you probably know the premise for anyone listening. It's sort of like what great sci-fi does is it extrapolates often like things that we're like, oh, wouldn't it be cool if? Turns out not so cool if we actually could just be our work self at work and, you know, not carry any of that home with us and vice versa. Not so cool.
That sounds really interesting. I mean, you're not the first person to mention it. I'm kind of a big pop culture junkie, so I don't want to miss out. I need to get this on the list.
Yes. Well, I learned so much reading your book, Power Mood. Even though I am someone who's really not been in the corporate world much, I have a lot of clients, therapy and coaching clients who are navigating that world. So it really has helped me understand what they're going through better. And also as an employer, it was very insightful to read and help me think about how I can be a better people first leader, as you call it. So highly recommend it. This episode is brought to you by a private podcast from yours truly called You Are Motherfucking Enough. It's a 4-part series that will teach you how to shift from patterns of self-doubt and criticism to owning your enoughness. I created You Are Motherfucking Enough because I'm tired of seeing how often self-doubt, shame, and constant criticism hold people back from stepping fully into their purpose, passion, and aliveness. And I believe that it takes a lot more than just an empathetic listener, whether that's a therapist, coach, or friend, to actually learn and apply the strategies that will allow you to make that positive shift long-term. I'm not kidding, y'all. The value of these episodes is worth the cost of multiple therapy or coaching sessions, and you can get instant access to this series for $0. I've condensed 12 years of experience working with these issues into 60 minutes of content. You don't want to miss this one. Get instant free access to listen almost anywhere you get your podcasts by signing up at honoryourspark.com/enough. That link will also be in the show notes for the episode that you're currently listening to. All right, let's get back to the show. But I figured for our first topic, being our resident career wingwoman here, I would love to get into why you believe that self-advocacy in the workplace is so important for women these days to learn about.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think it's really important because it isn't discussed and it isn't something that is taught in school, whether that be high school, college. Your parents don't typically teach it unless you have amazing parents. I think it's just not talked about as a tool that is so essential for corporate and not just corporate, but every aspect of life, you know, navigating your relationships and advocating for yourself in personal relationships and in work relationships and in negotiations inside and outside of work. Self-advocacy really comes in handy as a tool. So I think it's just something that is underutilized and undervalued. So I really like highlighting it as the core of my teaching.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it shows up in every phase, right? From putting together your resume to try to get the job you want, to interviewing for the job you want, to showing up well and, you know, advocating for a promotion. One of the terms that I learned in reading the book that I had not been familiar with is the idea of tactical ambition. So tell us what the heck that is if somebody else had also never heard of that before.
Totally. And it's cool that you never heard of it because I coined it. So many things in the book are things that I've coined and that have now become part of our fun little jargon in the Power Mood community. Yeah. But yeah, tactical ambition essentially means that ambition isn't just an ambiguous idea. Ambition is something that has steps that you can follow, and we can all follow those steps. So it's turning ambition into something that is tangible. So that's why I call it tactical ambition, meaning that if you want to get promoted in your career, if you want to carve that path, not everybody does. If it's something you want to do that's important to you, there are steps you can take to do that. And I think it's just about talking about those things that I've tried and my colleagues have tried in working in male-dominated industries, which most of them are, just finding out what these steps are through trial and error that work best for growth.
Yeah. It's like you talk about how we may think, well, if I just do a really great job and I'm like pleasant to work with, surely I'll get the promotion. And like, Not necessarily, right? So that's where you really have to be willing to take the extra step and like go to bat for yourself. And I mean, truly, like reading the tips around resume, interviewing, all of that, so incredible. You go really deep into that in the book, and I'm sure even deeper in your interview confidence guide. I would love to know, for interviewing, what is the number one thing that you wish more women knew about interviewing well, or one of the top things?
There's definitely several things. I would say one of the top things is that an interview really is a conversation and not an interrogation. And I started my career thinking that interviews were interrogations because that's what my parents taught me. That's what school taught me. That's what pop culture had taught me at the time. So I was like, oh, it's going to be the firing squad. And I just have to be ready. And if I don't know something, that's the worst possible thing that could ever happen, is if I don't know an answer. But now I know a lot more. And I'm happy to say that an interview really is a conversation. And if it doesn't feel like it, that's a really big red flag in terms of what that company values and what they're trying to make you do when you work there. So I think it's really like important to consider that vibe. If you don't feel a conversational vibe from your interviewer, it's probably a red flag that this isn't a healthy work environment.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And in my line of work, that feels especially important to me. I'm sure I can continue really improving my interview skills as an interviewer, but when it doesn't feel like a conversation, I'm like, this concerns me, as our job is having conversations for a living. I want it to feel like easeful and natural. And like that, to me, the feel of it is almost as important as the content of what's being said.
Totally. Yeah, I agree. And you can learn a lot from a company by just having an organic conversation, and they can learn a lot about you by having an organic conversation. So I like to ask questions throughout the interview and rather than save them for the end. Mm. You know, it just makes it feel a lot more conversational, a lot more free flowing, and it gives you an opportunity to better understand who they are.
Yeah, absolutely. And definitely encourage folks to check out the guide or the book for specifics around like how to respond to certain challenging questions. Like that was super informative. One of the other big topics that you help a lot with is negotiation, whether that's like negotiating salary in a new job or other types of benefits and things people want, asking for a raise. I love how you encourage channeling the audacity of mediocre men. Sometimes we need to bring that. But I know this is a topic you're very passionate about. And how much in your community, you've helped people get over like $1 million in raises, right?
Yes, this is true, and counting. And that's just the folks who have told me. Yes, thank
that's
you.
I'm amazing.
Very proud of that. You know, to see the tangible impact of the work. Like, that's really all I want, is for women to put more money in the hands of women. So it's great.
Mm-hmm. Anything you want to share here? I know it's like a broad topic, but about some of the things that are most core to people who are maybe on the very front end of thinking about negotiating or asking for a raise and are just like, oh my God, I've no idea where to start, and maybe they'll get the book or the guide, but what's kind of the first thing they need to start thinking about?
Yeah, I would say talk to your coworkers about salary. Talk to people in your network about salary. It's the opposite of what we're told. You know, don't talk about it. It's not classy. It's this and that. That's a lie, you know, perpetuated by capitalism and the patriarchy. Mm. So I think it's really important to talk openly and transparently about salary. It's definitely uncomfortable at first, but I find approaching it in certain tactical ways can help. For example, approaching a coworker and saying, hey, I'm just trying to figure out if I'm being paid equitably at this company. Are you making over or under X dollars?
Nice.
Or are you making 120? I'm making this. You know, just kind of like giving information to get information can help as well. You'd be shocked at how willing your coworkers are to engage in this dialogue in the year 2024. We are very open to talking about it. And, you know, obviously pick coworkers that you trust, people that you are friendly with. And folks are very likely to support you on this mission, especially if you reach out to people from a place of honesty. Like, you're looking to see if you're being paid equitably, which is something that I've done in the past. So I think that's like a great place to start, with transparent conversations around salary, because you have no idea if you're being underpaid right now compared to your colleagues in similar roles. So I think it's good to start there. And that can be helpful when it comes to your negotiation business case.
Sure. And obviously it's more complicated than just being like, well, I found out that Mike is in the same role as me and he's making $30,000 more than I am, right? Like the business case was something that was really interesting to read about too, because it's like there might be these reasons of equity or even personal reasons that you're like, I think I should get a raise at this point, but making a strong business case for why they should agree with you that you deserve a raise.
Yes. And I think that's a big part of like playing the game and hacking the corporate system, as I talk about in my work and in the book, is, you know, there's always like a plan A, a plan B, and a plan C with corporate interactions. And plan A is always self-advocacy and going off the basis of your own achievements and merits. So when you build a business case, you're essentially trying to preach to the choir. You're trying to play the game of how leadership works in corporate. And that is to say, here's the impact that I've made on the business via my work. Here's my top three achievements. And this is something that I do like every day with my coaching clients, is we build business cases for raises. We quantify our impact. And that is like the first line of offense when you're going in to ask for the raise, is that piece. And a lot of times that resonates with them, because we're like, okay, here's how my work related to strategic company goals. Here's how my work impacted the bottom line. Here's where I'm at, and this is what I'm asking for. Will you advocate for me to make this happen? And that's another good like phrase for negotiations. You're putting you and your boss on the same team. You're saying, will you advocate for me to make this happen? So you're throwing the ball into their court and putting them in a position to have to tell you no. And that is a really good strategy when you're negotiating. So that's an important piece that I like to always share and talk about.
Oh, I love that, because it also puts it on them as like, they probably want to see themselves as someone who will advocate for their people. So it's like, it would be egocentric for them to say yes to that question.
Totally. Yeah. And you can be surprised, you know, where that conversation goes. Sometimes that, you know, plan A works really well and your boss is an advocate for you. And sometimes it doesn't work that way. So you can kind of move on to plan B, plan C. I do think like after that step has been taken, you can bring in factual information that you've gathered from your salary research. And you can say, well, and it's a question. It's not an accusation. It's not like, well, Kevin's making this and I'm making this and I'm not cool with that or this and that. It's a curious question. It's, you know, I've done some research and I'm trying to understand the salary bands and where I fit into that, given my impact here and the work that I'm proud of. Can we talk about why, you know, Kevin, James, and Finn are making 30% more? I'd like to understand how I can get my pay to be equitable. You know, it's a question. You're asking a curious question. And like that does one of two things. Companies will either respond to that or they will make you an enemy. And I've had experienced both. But either way, you're getting valuable information that will help you move forward in your career. So I always recommend doing it, because to see how they respond will help you decide if you want to stay there or if you want to get out. You know, you get information that's valuable either way.
Absolutely. And I think going back to like the idea of making a strong business case, you talk about how you kind of have to be a detective, right? Because it's not easy to just like go to your boss or HR and look up like, okay, how much, you know, how many dollars worth of accounts have I managed or whatever? So you have to do some of that digging yourself, and you may be extrapolating a little bit, but that's just the name of the game and bringing all of that. And you talk about keeping a brag sheet. Tell us what a brag sheet is.
Yes. So a brag sheet is a running log of all of your accomplishments day to day that you should update either daily or weekly. It can be a digital file. It can be an analog notebook if you prefer writing in a notebook, but it's just important to track your achievements. And this goes for small achievements to big achievements, meetings that you take part in, meetings that you lead, presentations that you draft, presentations that you lead, achievements and wins that you have on a day-to-day basis. Because when it comes time for these big conversations around compensation, we forget. It's very easy to forget everything we've done. And then you find yourself scrambling and looking back at your work calendar like, wait, what did I do? I know I did so much because I was burnt out and busy, but like, what impact was I making? So, and also keeping the brag sheet keeps it top of mind that you should be advocating to work on projects that have a big business impact. Doesn't have to be every single project, but it's so important that your work has visibility. And this brag sheet also will remind you to cascade those results upward to leadership, because they have their own stuff going on. They have no idea what you're doing. They just know you're putting out fires and you know, keeping things running, they don't always know the impact that you're making, right? Because we've been told to put our heads down and just work hard, and they'll figure it out and they'll notice. I got into a regular habit of emailing my leadership and leadership that was adjacent to those projects just to share, like, me and my team's results. Like, hey, just wanted to share this really stellar result. Yeah. Here's the strategy. Here's the result. Here's how it relates to the goal that the company set for 2021 or whatever. So yeah, get into those habits, and the brag sheet is the way to start all of that.
That's awesome. And of course, if you're ever having a bad day and you're like, you know, imposter syndrome, or like, I made a mistake or whatever, like, going back and reading your brag sheet is probably a way to, like, help yourself feel better and embody that confidence. You talk a lot about confidence in all aspects of, you know, getting the job and getting promoted and all of that, and how confidence ultimately is a decision, right? It's not something that you either feel or you don't feel. So I would love to just anything you want to share about that.
Totally. And before that, I'll also say, like, for you as a business owner, and for me, like, people who are business owners, entrepreneurs, have a brag sheet too. Like, it helps us as well. It's so helpful, because I definitely have down days and, like, lonely days and days where I feel like a failure. And, you know, just looking back on a brag sheet for us is so helpful too. So it really helps in, like, any line of work. Confidence is a decision. Yes. So for me, confidence is something that has been a journey and is ongoing and is always going to be, you know, something that's like this. It's not like, you know, every single day we're confident and as each day goes by, we're like on this upward trajectory. That's not reality, right? So, but I do think that in the moments where we need it most, we can choose confidence and we can choose to channel it. And it starts with embracing who you are, kind of like what we talked about at the very beginning of this conversation, you know, like the spark and owning that and being who you are and being comfortable in that. I think it also comes from a little dose of delusion. You know, I think just a healthy delusion is good. Yes. I definitely have some of that going on where I wear like rhinestone encrusted opera glasses. So that's like what I'm looking at day to day. And I do that and it helps. But yeah, I think deciding to choose confidence comes in handy when you're doing something like an interview or a negotiation or a big presentation. Just knowing that you don't have to have it on all the time and just knowing that you can channel it when you really need it is helpful. And it doesn't seem as overwhelming or exhausting as this idea that you have to show up confident 24/7, because that's not realistic.
Right, right. And the more that we look at it as a decision than a feeling, then it's something that we can be like, I'm going to flip this on. I'm going to put on that special bracelet or whatever it is to, like, really embody that part of me.
Totally. Yeah, it's a choice. And you can channel whatever you need to make it happen. You know, if you need to put on some Beyonce, put on your favorite song, put on Renee rap, you know, whatever you need, like, to get confident and get in your zone and feel like you can channel that for whatever that next hour or two that you need it. And then you can go back into your cozy hole and read a book and relax like I do. But yeah, there are definitely times where, especially as introverts, we tend to get exhausted from channeling a lot of confidence, and that's, like, totally okay too. And then you can just recharge.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like, you're, even if you're working on building more of that ability to cultivate and access your power mood, you're not going to necessarily want to be in your power mood 24/7. You want to be in your cozy mood and all of that. So I would love to hear just about sort of where you came into the term power mood and, like, how you just knew, like, yes, this is the thing.
Yeah. So yeah, coming up with the name for a business is something that I think, like, holds people back from starting a business. It's like, I don't have a name, so I can't do this. It's definitely something that prevented me from starting for a while. So I would say, if you're listening out there thinking about starting something up, just start. Just start without a name, start without a logo, start without colors, like, start without anything, which is what I ended up doing. I did have power mood from the beginning because I had a little scratch document where I was writing down ideas for names, and I knew I wanted something that was powerful and, you know, would resonate with, if it resonated with me, I figured it would resonate with, like, my community. So I just was like, I need something that just feels good for me. Like, if I like it and I'm not sick of it and tired of it and I'm not embarrassed to say it, then I think it's good. And I ran it by some friends, and yeah, it kind of just started with this idea of, like, when you brainstorm things, my thought process was words associated with confidence, right? So I was like, okay, moxie and, like, charisma, uniqueness, nerve, and talent, you know, like, power, you know, all these things, with, like, writing down different words. And power move, like when you make a power move, there's like that phrase. And I was like, well, what if I did like a take on that phrase, power mood? And then you're in your power mood era, and then you can have your power mood feeling, you can have your power mood book, you can have your power mood era. So yeah, so that's where it kind of came from, just from like a brainstorm.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Thank you. Thank you. It's fun. People like it. And I hadn't really thought of that at the time, but it has good branding power and potential. So I think it ended up working out in my favor. But I would say if you're trying to start something up, you don't need all that figured out.
Yeah, don't wait with the per for the perfect thing. And like I even told you before we push record, I recently just went through a huge rebrand, and it was like, yeah, it was slightly annoying having to do a bunch of things over, but like I'm, if I had waited or just told myself, no, you already chose this brand, you're stuck with it forever. Like, no, you can always iterate. And that's the beauty of like creating stuff online too, is like just design it again. You most things, I mean, some people have physical businesses where maybe it's a little more involved, but yeah, it's just fun that you get to play and iterate.
Yeah, I'd be interested to hear about like why you changed that. I know this is not the conversation we're having today, but it's interesting to me. A topic that's interesting to me is like why you changed it, what changed, and like, what motivated that is like a very interesting thing to me.
Yeah, totally. Well, one thing that I wanted to touch on, and I think we've gotten to a lot of the things I wanted to talk about, but if there's anything coming up for you, we can go there. The last thing I wanted to ask you about is just generally like women being valued for their work and contribution outside of the workplace. And at one point in the book, you talk about how you were, I can't remember if it was a raise or a promotion or a job you got, but like sharing the news with your family and be like, I have exciting news to share. And they're like, oh my gosh, you're pregnant. Like, no, that's, and like takes the wind out of your sails, right?
Yeah.
So and like, obviously people can. That can be really exciting news for people, but it's just the sort of traditional, stereotypical role of women, and especially as someone who has very much chosen not to go on that path of having children. It's I love what I see out there around like people having showers for their business and like, but yeah, just anything you want to share about women being valued for their work outside of the workplace.
Totally. Yeah. And it was definitely like people of a certain age group, the boomer age, that like when I shared the news, in this case, it was when I first got my book deal.
Oh,
And
yeah.
most people were like, oh my God, that's so exciting. Holy crap. Like, that's amazing. Like, the support was there. So this was like a very, very small percentage of folks, but it still hurt. Yeah. To kind of see that as like the first reaction that like this is, the expectation on women. But yeah, I think like just, we're starting to see it more. I'm starting to see more articles, more studies around, women who do have children and what that impact means for their family and how we're placing this burden of work, childcare labor and workplace labor, mostly on women. So it's interesting to see that conversation being had, and I like that that's being exposed more. And partnerships are starting to change, and the way we see family structures changing, I think is cool. But yeah, I think like just celebrating women in general is like a huge part of my life and why I started the business. I really like to celebrate everything that we all have achieved. And it's really exciting, especially like we're about to go into Women's History Month, which is always an exciting time for me. It's Women's Day every day, but it's exciting to celebrate that. But I hope we can see more change in the national conversation and the global conversation around this. When it comes to why the US has no parental leave, there is none in existence. And also like sometimes in work, the burden of the extra work gets placed on women who choose to be child-free. That's another conversation. It's like, well, you, and that's happened to me. It's like, well, you're gay and you don't have anything going on and you don't have a family and you're this, so you could totally stay later. You could do this or that. Or like, it's like, oh my God. And like, what do you say to that? Like, it's awkward as heck. So I think there's a lot of interesting conversations that are like starting to be had. And I really credit Gen Z for bringing some really cool stuff to the forefront and challenging the way that boomer bosses run things. So that's something that I'm keeping a close eye on, is as Gen Z takes over in the workforce, I'm hoping to see a lot more positive change, whether it's the gender pay gap, work-life balance for women, all those different things. Flexible work becoming the norm is really exciting. But I think there's a lot of positive change coming, I hope.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting to see over the next, 10, 20 years for sure. Amazing. Well, I think we got to all the things that I was hoping to cover. Is there anything else that you're excited to talk about? And if not, we can start tell people what you're up to.
I feel like we covered a lot of interesting stuff. I mean, another thing that's been like on my mind recently is just like setting boundaries. And I think it's important to like mention, like, you know, you can start having a conversation about boundaries in the workplace during the interview process. Mm-hmm. It's just another piece of advice that I give and something that I've been talking about a lot with people recently who are fleeing toxic jobs and don't want to repeat the cycle in their next job. And, you know, kind of like, is the grass really greener if I leave? But there are questions you can ask during the interview process. There are green flags you can look for. And I think it starts with like writing a list of your values of what you want in your next workplace, whether that's flex work, hybrid, what you're looking for in a leader. Do you want to work somewhere where your leader is a woman? Specifically, I have a few clients right now like on that journey because they've been through a lot of toxic male leadership. So now this is a priority in their next job and the job matters less than like the leadership for them. So like all these non-traditional ways of looking at the job search and like making a list of priorities so that way you can get a job that fits your lifestyle rather than making your lifestyle fit the job. Mm-hmm. Think about your lifestyle first and then the job that fits that.
Yeah. And I do love the idea of like looking for both the red flags and the green flags, right? It's like we want to protect ourselves, but also like if you're going into it with just like, oh God, you know, I'm just like looking for waiting for them to say the wrong thing. Like you want to be aware, but also like be aware of potentially, you know, the exciting things that are there that you can ask about. I think it's really cool too.
Totally.
Awesome. Well, tell people where they can find you online and what you're up to.
Yeah, you can follow me on Instagram and TikTok at A Power Mood. And you can go to apowermood.com for my digital guides. I have negotiation guide, interview, resume revamp. I do one-on-one coaching for leadership, resumes, interviewing, all those topics. You can join my email list at apowermood.com if you want to stay up to date.
Amazing. Well, this has been so much fun. And people I know are going to get a ton out of this conversation. So thank you for doing it.
Thank you so much, Valerie. It was great chatting with you.
Yes, friend, you made it to the end of the episode. I so appreciate you tuning in. And if you enjoyed this episode, make my day by subscribing and leaving a 5-star rating to help other people find this podcast. I'd love for you to connect with me on Instagram at HonorYourSpark. And don't forget to sign up for my 4-episode private podcast series all about kicking self-criticism to the curb at HonorYourSpark.com/enough. See you in the next episode.